And welcome back to Sundance Weekend, this Sunday edition, the second hour. I'm Rhett Breff. I'm here with my peerless co-host, Stacey Domalski. And our next film is Author, the J.T. Leroy Story, with Jeff Furzig, director, or someone who claims to be Jeff Furzig, the director.
That's correct, and you pronounced my name right, so yeah. We're already starting off really well here.
Because I'm skeptical to start with just because the topic of the story here. But go ahead, and for those who haven't, who don't know who J.T. Leroy is or was, go ahead and set this up for us.
Oh, absolutely. Well, J.T. Leroy, or otherwise known as J.T. Leroy, was an underage, well, he was a teenage author. He was a transgressive author, and allegedly he was the son of a truck stop prostitute, otherwise known as a lot lizard. And the mother was a drug addict, and he worked the truck stops of Wild West Virginia. And he would dress up as a girl and was emulating his mother. It was very competitive. Who would be the best truck stop lot lizard and service the truckers? J.T. Leroy then went on the road, ran away, landed in San Francisco, was homeless, was HIV positive, and started calling helplines, suicidal helplines, and started calling a psychiatrist, a guy named Dr. Terrence Owens. And this man, 1 hour a day for 3 years, gave therapy to this young boy, and but never met the boy. It was all phone therapy. And that man urged J.T. Leroy to write as a form of therapy. J.T. Leroy was then published. He did not seek out a publisher or an agent or a book deal. People just responded very much to the writing on the page. And the next thing we knew, it was an international bestseller.
So how did J.T. Leroy get, did he self-publish? Did he just put it on the internet? Or how did he get it out there so people could read it and respond to it?
Well, this was all pre-internet. So this was late 80s and early 90s. And then going all the way into 2000. So J.T. Leroy, just by writing and giving it to this therapist, started passing it around. Mm-hmm. And it landed in the hands of some really amazing transgressive authors, because J.T. Leroy was seeking mentorship. Mm-hmm. So J.T. Leroy gave this writing, or I should say faxed the writing, to Dennis Cooper, as well as Bruce Benderson, who were both amazing gay transgressive authors. And that mentorship caused a lot of excitement because more writing was generated, and then it got passed around into the New York literary community. Mm-hmm. And then, therefore, a publishing deal happened, but nobody had ever met the boy. It was just a voice on the telephone.
And how old was J.T. Leroy at that point when the writing kind of hit?
Well, the first writing happened around age 16. I would say by the time the writing hit, he was 19. But once again, no one had ever met him.
Mm-hmm. So I'll let you decide how far you want to go here in terms of spoilers. Although, you know, pick up the program, I guess you can get basically the deal that J.T. Leroy was not all he seemed to be.
Well, or maybe more than he seemed to be. That was what was so interesting. So J.T. Leroy wrote two books. They were both published as fiction. One was called Sarah. That was a novel. And the first was, well, excuse me, it's the second, but written first, was The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things. The key word here might be deceitful, and that is a quote from the Bible. When those books smashed, J.T. Leroy, who was a voice on a telephone, all of a sudden was put into a situation of, my art, my work is now being validated. There is demand for me to show up in bookstores. What do I do? And J.T. Leroy then got, or other famous authors and celebrities loved the writing so much, and all of a sudden they were doing the readings for J.T. Leroy, because J.T. Leroy would never go out in public. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of famous people reading Leroy's work at the early readings. And then ultimately J.T. Leroy assumed a body And J.T. Leroy then started appearing actually in public. And it went on for about 10 years.
That long? Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yes. All over the world. And these, I go to books, you know, I have friends who are authors, and I go to readings, and, you know, it's really tough if you're not J.K. Rowling to pack mm-hmm. a bookstore. Mm-hmm. J.T. Leroy, with very transgressive fiction, this is not J.K. Rowling, mm-hmm. Was a zeitgeist moment in publishing. You literally had rock star-like crowds appearing in lines around the block, sold out all over the world at these readings to hear this boy speak and read. Mm-hmm. And that was absolutely fascinating.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of I remember that, and it was kind of the Banksy of publishing or of writers, you know, instead of this person showing up and drawing, it was somebody, you're right, a disembodied voice on the phone is now actually going to be here. And people did show up in droves.
Well, the Banksy analogy is very, very interesting because it really goes back to Zorro. You know, mm-hmm. Or perhaps the Mexican wrestler, Mil Máscaras. Mm-hmm. People want more what they cannot see. And I think perhaps J.T. Leroy, like Banksy, fundamentally understood that. The more you couldn't see him, or if you're at the reading and you're craning your neck and looking around, and there were rumors he might be here.
Mm-hmm. That, or is that him? Is that him? That kind of thing.
That was actually happening, very much so at mm-hmm. these readings. And I think you're right. It helped cause, you know, a publishing mania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sundance analogy was when the Blair Witch Project first hit, and the directors kind of half fostered the notion that this was a real thing, that this was an actual documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People were going, "Is that? Did that happen? Was there a witch? What's going on?" You know?
No, I recall that well. And honestly, people were doing that to J.T. Leroy, and it snowballed and it kept building, and you know, and then there, of course, there was the raccoon penis bones, because that's
tell us about that. Yeah,
pardon, the raccoon what?
Penis bones.
The raccoon penis bone is a great well, it's a real symbol down south, and it's a good luck charm. It'll give you virility if you put it under your pillow, perhaps. And J.T. Leroy had that in the book Sarah, so of course, if you've got a hit book and you've got fans, you got to have merch. So the merch really took off. The signed, autographed J.T. Leroy raccoon penis bone started being worn by, you know, every celebrity, every hot rock musician, people in fashion, people in art. I mean, that was, you know, you were in the club if you had your raccoon penis bone.
So everybody now is going to go on eBay and start searching for the J.T. Leroy signed raccoon penis bone.
Well, actually, on eBay right now, there are tons. I mean, I think what happens is people harvest them. I think it's roadkill.
Oh, okay.
And I never heard of the raccoon penis bone, otherwise known as the baculum. And I looked it up, and ironically, the raccoon, for some reason, has an abnormally large penis.
Uh-huh. Oh, that raccoon got all the luck. Opposable thumbs and a large
penis.
That's
what
wow.
you get from rooting around in garbage. I think you missed a bet. You could have handed that out as some merchandising to audiences at the screenings here.
Well, actually, Laura Albert, the author, the real author of J.T. Leroy, is here in Sundance right now and has shown up with quite a few raccoon penis bones.
I am there. I'm going.
And will she just to wrap up? Will she be available for screenings? You know, with you, with the raccoon penis bones.
Yeah, both. She will be there and the penis bones. She's appeared three times in the last 2 days, and it's been very, very gratifying to see the audience response to the film, as well as her, and basically they're responding to her art, her books.
Okay. Well, the next appearance for author of the J.T. Leroy story, for Jeff and the Raccoon Penis Bones, will be on the Prospector Square Theater on Wednesday, and you're taking the show down to Sundance on Thursday, and then your final appearance here, Temple Har Shalom, on Saturday. So, Jeff Yurzit, thanks very much.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Very fascinating story.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Mark Miller Subaru is proud to sponsor the Sundance Reel on KPCW, an independent film at Park City Film Series. Mark Miller Subaru supports the community through our nonprofit partnerships and helps protect the environment with our green initiatives. Located on South State Street in Salt Lake City and Southtown in Sandy, offering a wide selection of new 2016 Subaru and pre-owned vehicles. Love the experience at markmillersubaru.com.